So we are on a new series tonight. We call it Renew. All right, we finished with the Beyond the Signs. We're stepping to a new one called Renew. Renew is about problems of life. Okay, we live in a broken world. How many know that we live in a broken world here? Right. Aside from being in a broken world, you know, we live and exist among communities. Am I right? You have your family, you have your greater family, you have your maybe school, so-called family, you have your work family, you have the church family. And how do you know that when you are in the midst of so many people, there will be problems, right? Somehow or another, you're going to be offended, someone gives an accusation, someone doesn't give you the nice look, you get offended. You know, all sorts of things happen when you're with people, am I right? And so tonight, the new series is going to talk about this, you know, talks about rejection, talks about brokenness, guilt, shame, and how these people, how they encountered Jesus, and how Jesus renewed their lives, and they went on, lived a great life, and how they shared the gospel to so many others, having tasted the love of God. All right, so you find that the story is going to be about the Jesus and the Samaritan woman, okay? Now, I was told from statistics that in our lifetime, we will meet at least 80,000 people. So before we actually leave this world, you would have met 80,000 people in your life. Okay. But out of the 80,000, maybe only about 40 of them are your friends. Okay. And in that 40 that you have, whom you call as friends, you can categorize them, right, broadly into these 7 categories. Okay? So, if your friend is an organizer, great. All right? And if you are also an organizer, in fact, we talked about this during the life group. Okay? Whether you're a planner or you are a guy who is spontaneous, right? So, if your friend is an organizer, if he's a planner and all that, and you are also an organizer, then you are going to go in very well together. All right? But if he is an organizer and you're the spontaneous guy, boy, you're going to have some problems, right? You're going to have some conflicts there. Okay? The second one is the motivator. Great. I mean, if you have a friend who is always a motivator, that's good to have. The other guy could be an oracle. And this is the guy who knows everything. Okay? You tell him, you know, I'm going to watch John. Oh, I saw it already. Very good. Oh, okay. You know, this is the guy whom you say, you know, I found this new restaurant. I went there also already. Wow, the food's so good. You know, this guy knows everything. Before you say it, he knows it already. You know, after a while, you don't talk anymore. Okay? So that's the kind of problem that you face, okay? And the elephant is great also. The elephant is a guy who will remember your birthdays, your anniversaries, everything. I mean, this guy remembers everything. But at the same time, he'll remember the mistakes you've made, the things that you disappointed him. For 20 years, he'll tell you the same thing. He'll remind you, you know, that time when you said you're supposed to come with me for breakfast, you didn't turn up, you overslept. He'll remind you for 20 years because he doesn't forget. Okay. How many of you got a kind of friends? Come on, be honest. They remember you for life. Right. The maverick is probably the best guy to be. Right, because he's spontaneous, he's fun, you know, he just wants to do, just wants to enjoy the world, and you go with him, it's great, okay? But this guy is so unreliable, all right? He'll tell you, yeah, let's do it tomorrow. I heard some of you guys was like, you know what, let's go for CEO Fitness at 5 a.m. They didn't turn up because they overslept, you know, the Scrooge, you know, the Scrooge is the guy that every time when you pay, he's there. But when it's his turn to pay for the supper, so to speak, doesn't turn up, all right? And of course, Steady Eddie, and everybody wants a Steady Eddie. A Steady Eddie is a friend, you know, who's reliable, dependable, but there are very few of this around, all right? So when you have people, you will have problems, okay? And some of these problems may be irritants to us, all right, some are rejection, shame a bit, and all that. But you know, you feel bad, but you get over it. But there's some that are very deep set. Okay? Some that are feel rejected even from the mother's womb. All right, and maybe some of you young couples, you're praying for a boy. You know, wow, I need to have a boy because my parents are insisting that I need to have a boy. You're praying for a boy, and then you find out that it is a girl. Okay, and right in the mother's womb, there's already rejection. Okay? And a child will grow up. You know, they know. I don't know how they know, but they know. All right, they know that they weren't the favorite. They weren't. You know, they were expected to be a boy, but then I became a girl. You know, so and they grow up with the dysfunctional. All right, or you go to school, favoritism is a problem. All right, teachers who favor one over the other, you're going to scar some of these very young kids for life. You know, emotionally they'll be scarred. Of parents, you know, parents may also do that. You know, if you have favoritism at home, when you have 2 or 3 kids, and then you find that you have favoritism, you'll scar those that they feel were rejected. Right? So some of these things are very deep set, and we want to learn from the Bible how some of these people encounter God and how God kind of turned their lives around. All right? And so with that, we're going to journey into John 4. Wow, after going to 7 weeks, 7 miracles in John, we are back to John again. I love John. All right. John 4, in fact, we have 40 verses tonight. If I cover 40 verses, it'll take 4 hours. Who's buying supper tonight? Come on. I know we are all very generous here. There's no scrooge around here. Everybody is great, you know. But all right, so John 4, okay, so let's journey on. There are actually 40 verses to cover, so I have to move very fast. Okay, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. And this is really, it's referring to Jesus, okay. So Jesus left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and Jesus had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Joseph's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about 6 hours, all right? It was about the 6th hour a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." You know, this 4 verses itself, okay, basically gives us some context and background of this whole story. You find that the first word, I've bolded the words that are important to us. Jesus says he had to go. He had to pass through Samaria. There's something about Samaria that he had to do. Okay, you find that Samaria, okay, maybe I'll just give you some context. You say, oh, it's too small. Huh? Can you see it from here? So you find that Samaria is actually occupies the land of the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay, Samaria is really right over here, all right? And the thing about Samaria is that they are a people that the Jews despised. Okay, so during the reign of the Assyrian king who invaded Israel, what happened was 10 of the tribes were taken away. They were exiled away to Assyria. Okay, but they left some behind. Okay, some speculated that those who left behind were those that were lowly. People didn't quite like them. That even the Assyrians didn't quite like them, and so they kind of left them behind and took away the others. And what happened was the Assyrian king, sent some of their own people to live in that place. And so over time, there was intermarriages. Okay, with these foreign people, and so what you find is at the end of the day. There are Jews with mixed heritage with some of these foreign people. And you find that Samaria, interestingly, is that they follow 5 books of written by Moses, meaning to say they actually obey the laws of Moses. All right, so they were following that, but yet at the same time, because they had this foreign element there, there's intermarriages and all that, so they also adopted the idolatrous kind of worship that these foreigners brought with them. And so in essence, you find these people that the Jews call them the half-breed, all right? If you have dogs that are pedigree, you know, you call them the poodles. And what other dogs that are pedigree? Labrador. Okay, what other dogs? What other? I'm not a poodle. Yeah, great. Okay, so, yeah, okay, great, fantastic. So if it's the pedigree means it's pure breed, right? But here, they are not pure breeds, so to speak. They call them mongrel faith. Okay, mongrel meaning the pariah dog that we see along the road. Okay, the one you ask, where do you come from? Don't know who's the father, who's the mother. Okay, and so the Jews kind of like define them as having mongrel faith, and so because of that, they are utterly despised. So you find that in this map, there are actually two routes that goes to Galilee. Okay, so the Bible said that Jesus left from Judea to Galilee, so meaning he's traveling from down here up to Galilee. He could have taken this route, which is through Perea, which is actually the favorite route of the Jews because it doesn't go through Samaria. But this route is 2 days longer. Okay, so despite the fact that it's longer, the Jews will still take that route because they don't want to go through Samaria. But here the Bible says that Jesus said, I had to go. I had to go through Samaria itself. So the reason he had to go through because he was on a mission. Basically, he intended to deal with some things in Samaria itself. And so you find that he walked for 3 days, okay? I mean, not 3 days, 3 days to Galilee. So probably maybe a day or so, and he walked and he comes to the town of Sychar, and he sits by a well, Jacob's well. Okay, the Bible calls it Jacob's well is simply because it has a historical significance to it, all right? It has a historical significance because if you read about the story of Jacob and Esau, how many of you know the story of Jacob and Esau? Kind of like a long story short, Esau felt that his birthright was stolen by his brother, so Jacob was afraid, and then he ran off. And then after about 20 years, he decides to come back, and then he meets his brother, and they kind of make up, okay? And so as a result of that, he ended up buying a piece of land, and then he stayed on with the family, okay? So they call it a Jacob's well. So it's written that way because if you are a person of that time, when people say Jacob's well, you know where is it. Okay, so there's a historical significance to it. And then it goes on to say that Jesus was sitting beside the well, and it was about the 6th hour. 6th hour is 12 noon. Okay, you'll find that the well, aside from it having a historical significance, the well is a place, not only do you go there and draw water alone, but it's a place of community. If you find a well in the town, it is a place where people meet. It's probably at the center of the town. The town is built around it. People go there, and they would meet each other. It's a community area. It's a symbol of life in the town itself, right? And so you find that the well... Here, basically, typically what the people would do is they will come at the break of dawn to get the water, to draw water for the day, all right? Because they want to avoid the sun. And then they come back again the second time just before dusk, just before sunset itself. They'll draw water again, and then they would draw water for the evening itself. So what happens is that as when they come, they will gather together, all right? And then they will start talking and all that. Okay. Just like us today, you know, a lot of you, sometimes you go out drinking, and then what do you do? You end up hanging around the bar, right? Because it's where the water is, right? Or how many of you, when you go working, right, you have a pantry, right? So sometimes you end up hanging out in the pantry, right? Because that's where the fridge is or something, or vending machines. Okay, some of these modern millennial companies, you know, they have to favor their employees. They kind of create a small space and they put in a well-stocked vending machine there. And people kind of like go there and hang out. Okay, so that's the same concept that they have in those times. The well is a place of community, a place of meeting, a place of chismes. That's where the women were talking about their husbands and all that, you know. Talking about all sorts of stuff. Okay, and then you find that this was the 6th hour. So at 12 noon, when no one is there, because it's probably the hottest time in the day, okay? No one is there. Jesus is seated down there and waiting. And guess what? A woman from Samaria comes along. You find that this woman doesn't even have a name. That's how bad it is, all right? And why is this lady, okay, the question asked is this, why is this woman coming at a time when no one is at the well? All right? And so the Bible gives us some clue as to who she is, her background and all that. So there must be a very good reason why she doesn't want to meet people. I mean, she's probably just sick and tired of all these people talking about her. Maybe when she, maybe those early days when she would come in the morning to draw water and all these ladies are looking at her with something weird, you know, and she kind of like, and I'm done with this, okay? I'm enough of all these people. I just want to be alone. And I'm depressed looking at them. Yeah, when I see that, I want to puke, okay? And so, you know, she decides that, you know, that's it, final. They can draw all the water they like. In the morning, I'll come. In the afternoon, right at the noontime, when no one is there, I'll do my own stuff, and then I'll go home. All right. So that's the kind of scenario we see. Okay, and you find that in that moment, as she arrives at that well, it's really quite kind of an awkward situation because you find Jesus asking her for a drink. You know, she's probably the biggest surprise in her whole life. Who is that? All right. So the first point I just want to take up with you is that Jesus' encounter with us are deliberate and timely. Okay, he had a plan. Jesus had a mission. It's great to tell somebody beside you that you're not here by accident. You're not here by accident. You're not in ANCG, you know. You know, I always tell Victoria and Limin. Where's Limin? She's not sitting there. Ah, Limin's sitting there, you know. You know, these two girls are... Or they're these two ladies. They're not girls anymore. These two young ladies, you know, are nutritionists, right? And they kind of like work for a wellness company, okay? And the thing is that they work on Sundays. Weekends is their most busiest time. And so they've never been able to attend church, so to speak. And then they somehow found that Gateway, you know, does church on Wednesday night. And guess when is their off day? Wednesday and Thursday, right? Wow, you know, so you know what I told them? I said, Jesus planted this church just for you. You know, there's no accident. You know, we all have to labor, put our money here, spend all the time just because you guys needed a church, all right? So I can tell you this, you know, nothing happens by accident. It's by design of God. So if you're seated here today, this message is for you, all right? This message is really for you. So this is something that God has ordained, so to speak. All right, so let's move on. So you find that verse 8 goes on. Okay, verse 8 and 9 says, for his, in brackets, note that it's in brackets. For his disciples have gone away into the city to buy food. Okay, you know, there's a context to this because, right, as you know, that the Jews despise the Samaritans, okay? And so these disciples, they haven't a clue what Jesus is going to do, okay? And so in their minds, they're thinking, you know, I mean, our reputations are going to be at stake, you know? We are following this guy, Jesus. We are hanging out in Samaria, okay? People will think, what are we doing there? And so they find an excuse, you know, let's do something. Let's go and find food, you know? And so they left him alone, okay? So you feel that, right? You feel the kind of rejection there is into that society, okay? And then this Samaritan woman said to him, okay, how? So this is really an awkward situation. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Okay, and then brackets, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, meaning to say that Jews wants nothing to do with them. Okay, and she's kind of surprised. So you find that, here's what's interesting, is that Samaritans themselves, as a people, are rejected by the Jews. Okay, and not only, so this woman, not only is she a Samaritan, rejected by everybody else around her, she is also rejected by her very own people. So in essence, she has nowhere to go. Right? If she can't be proud to say that, okay, I don't have all this friends in this town, I can go to the next town. She can't be proud of it because if she says, I'm a Samaritan, Samaritan, you know, nobody wants to talk to her, you know, and so she has nowhere to go really, you know, that's how bad it was for her. And so you find that Jesus is like, you know what, Although nobody wants to talk to you, okay, I'm here for you. Okay. But there's one other thing that we have to note in the society there. Okay, aside the fact that she is a Samaritan and nobody wants to talk to her, the society there is such that if you are a man, you don't talk to a woman. Okay? You don't talk to a woman. In fact, if you read some commentaries, it says that the society there is such that even the men do not talk to their wives in public. That's the culture, okay? That's the culture there. Traditionally, men are so-called superior, okay? So everybody else is lower than them, so to speak. So they don't talk to the women. They don't even talk to their daughters in public. Okay? And so the Pharisees, in fact, says that if you are a rabbi, you will never talk to a woman at all. And so there is this nickname that they give the Pharisees. They call them the bleeding and bruise, the bleeding and bruising Pharisee. You know why? Because they are so religious in their mind that if they're walking along the street, if they see a woman coming, they close their eyes and walk because they don't want to see. And so they are bleeding and bruising because they walk into walls, they fall down the street, you know, and they're all bleeding and they're bruised, okay, because of that. Okay, that's why they nicknamed them that way. All right. So these guys are crazy, okay? And so you find that in this instance, in this very awkward situation, Jesus is there engaging a woman, which is one, the taboo during those times, especially he wants to be a spiritual leader, so to speak. He is a rabbi and all that. Okay, and secondly, you know, the woman is Samaritan, which he should not be talking to her because society doesn't go well for him on that. And you find that Jesus breaks all these norms. Okay, he breaks all these traditional, cultural, religious norms to come to us. And that's what it is. Next point, you need to take this down. Jesus breaks every cultural, traditional, religious norm to address our issues today. That's who he is. He doesn't care, you know. He doesn't care about all those, whatever religious things that you have in mind, you know. People say, oh, you know, you always, you know, I see that, you know, well, you're in business, okay. And then how come you're always following your clients to the pub? Okay. You're Christian, ah? Oh, really, yeah. How many of you got that before? You know. So I'm a businessman before, and I do follow clients. You know, and when one time I sat down and asked my pastor, how you asked me to be LG leader, but then sometimes I have to go and follow my customer or my clients. I have to follow them. You explain lah. You follow them. You go lah. Explain only what. You don't do anything. You do anything that? No, I don't do anything that. Yeah. You know why? Because Jesus doesn't care. He doesn't care. All these religious norms, this, all this do, can do, cannot do, you know, to him is just, forget it now. You know, let's talk the real issues, okay? Let's get down to the real issues, all right? And so that's what it is. Okay? Jesus breaks every cultural, traditional, religious norms, okay? So that he can come to us clean. And so what happens is that, in verse 10 onwards, Jesus answered her. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. You find interestingly as God himself, you know, deliberately and in the most timely fashion meets you, and then he himself breaks all the norms, okay, to come to you, and then he has to meet with unbelief. How many of you have gone through that? You talk to some guy about Jesus and all that, and then, you know, they tell you, huh, really? Are you sure you can do it? Are you sure your God can do it? Are you sure Jesus can do it? So unbelief was the next barrier, the next giant, the next mountain that was facing him. And Jesus is sitting here talking to this lady and said that, you know, if you know who you're talking to and you ask him for a drink, you'll get living waters. Right? And water is a kind of a symbol for life, you know, symbol for life and symbol for spiritual cleansing in those days. Right? So God is saying, or Jesus is saying, you know what? If you ask me, I'm going to give you living water. As if God is going to install a water faucet in you itself, so that you have a constant flow of water, and you don't even have to worry about the water bill. It just comes, all right? He was telling this girl, okay? And so you find that there's so much unbelief, you know. And so what happened is that the next, as we go down, verse 13, Jesus said to her, okay, whoever drinks of this water will be thirsty again. And so this is what it is, all right? When somebody first shared the gospel to me, I said, I know who Jesus was, right? I knew who he was. The woman asked, you know, you have nothing to draw water with. And that was the first thing that came to my mind. Okay, when he talked about Jesus, I said, I know Jesus. But I only knew him because I studied from the history book. I did not know who he is. So if I see Jesus from the eyes of man itself, then he is just a religious guy. Nothing more than that. And so he goes on to say that, are you even bigger than Father Jacob? You know, the thing about this is that the woman is saying, you know what? Father Jacob, I know. You know why? Because Father Jacob dug this well 2,000 years ago. If you check the timeline of the Bible, in 1906 BC, Jacob was in Shechem. And that's the exact location where the well is. All right. So about 2,000 years ago, that well was there. And that well has been serving the people all that while, until the day that she was talking to Jesus and said, look, this well has been here, trial and tested. All these traditions, all these cultural things that we have has worked for us. For as long as we remain obedient to them, we are blessed. So what makes you so sure that you are going to be better than that? Oh boy, you know, that's a big mountain of unbelief there. And so like I said, you know, when somebody shared that gospel to me, I said, then I know that Jesus, but can he do it? What difference does it make? Is he bigger than the feng shui that I'm following? You know, because at that time I was big in feng shui, everything, you know, follow the charts, make sure that it's right, okay? And it has been good, you know, if I do this, it will bless me. If I do that, it will bless me. You know? I remember those days when I was young, I followed my mom to the temple. As a very young boy, she would go to Pitt Street Temple in Penang. And then she would pray. And now our family is blessed. And so if we have been following all that, all these years, okay, and we are blessed. Blessed in the sense that, well, you know what? My dad sent me to school. My dad sent me to UK to study. I'm thankful for that. I'm blessed, you know. And I've experienced all that. And why? Why are you going to make that change today? Is your Jesus bigger than that? Oh, that was a big question. I mean, this is exactly what the woman is saying. You know, I'm the eldest son in the family, and I'm only the only son also, you know. And so there is some religious kind of a responsibility there, okay? You know, are you going to antagonize your ancestors that you're going to walk away from all this ancestral worship and you're going to pray to Jesus alone? Are you going to make Jesus exclusive in your life? Are you sure this is what you want? And so this woman is really testing God. She was testing her. You know what? All these things that we have done, these 2,000 years, the tradition, and all this we have been following, works for me. Okay? And some of you have said it here today. All right? You've gone through traditions, culture, religious rules and all that. Okay, when it is a ghost month, okay, don't do this, don't go out, you know, don't follow that, you know. The feng shui master who I asked before, okay, will have this chart, dries up my whole life, you know, tells me this year is good year, very prosperous, this year is bad year, okay, this is a bad luck year, don't go to hospital, don't visit the wake, don't just stay at home, don't do anything, okay. Are you going to let are these things bigger than Jesus? And so this is where it was. You know, maybe some of you are not on this religious. Maybe some of you are into yoga. Okay, I'm not against yoga, but you know, yoga gives you peace. Okay, so you do yoga and do all that. You know, empty, and then you feel good. You feel peaceful. You know, and it's great. Okay, but after a while, you need it again. Right? Just like the feng shui guy, okay? Today, I'll consult him. I'm happy. Wow, it's good, excellent. Okay? When next day, when I want to do something, whoa, I could ask him again, consult. Hey, can do or not? Is this the right time to do or not? Okay. And then what did Jesus say? Jesus said this. He said that everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. If you go back to all the cultural beliefs that you have, if you go to feng shui, if you go to yoga, if you go to all sorts of these things that the world offers to you, you'll be thirsty again. But if you come to me, I'm going to install that water faucet in your heart. It's going to be right there, and it's going to be living water. It's going to run. It will not run out. It will continue to flow. And that's what it is. All right? And so this is basically what the main crux of the whole encounter was with this woman. Okay, this woman is so used to all the what society has given her. She's already lost hope. Okay, I am a Samaritan. I'm going to be despised anyway. So what? Okay, and even the people who live in my community, they don't like me. Why? Because I have five husbands. I had five husbands before, and I'm living in with another man today. You know, maybe these guys are all talking bad about her. She's feeling really, you know, shameful, maybe. We do not know why she does all that, okay? We can all speculate, and we'd be one of those people there, you know, always talking about her, okay? But we do not know. But there are reasons for her to feel this way, okay? She's already set in her mind, okay? Never mind. All these people, they despise me. Fine, it's okay. I'll live on my own. And even if I live on my own, I'm going to do even better. And that's the problem sometimes with rejection, with emotional issues, all right? Because we don't realize that in responding to this problem, we get into more problems. Yeah. Am I right? There's this phrase that people say, hurt people." I mean, you heard that, right? Hurt people, you know? I mean, usually they do things that will hurt others also, right? And hurt themselves even more. So the situations get worse. It doesn't get better. Then they feel more depressed. But God says there's a solution to that. When you have me, you'll never be thirsty again. I'll give you all that you need. All right? And so that was the encounter with God that she had. And so here you are. Jesus overcame unbelief with spiritual truths. All right? The guy who sat down with me, shared the gospel to me, you know, told me that God has a better plan for you. God has a good plan for your life. You don't have to worry. He will not let you down. He spoke truth into my heart. Okay? And that's how I accepted Jesus. Okay? So the only way Jesus came, now he's seeing a big mountain of unbelief, and he had to speak spiritual truths into this woman. And you find that the woman earlier says, okay, give me this, right? If I missed him. Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty and have to come here to draw water again. And so finally she's convinced. She's convinced that, okay, you know what? I'm going to have what you're going to give me. All right? But interestingly enough, Jesus asked her this question. Okay? Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And this woman is saying, huh? Call my husband and come here? Why? You know, what's the whole purpose of that? All right? What's the whole purpose of that? Why call my husband? And the woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands. Had, huh? My goodness, I hope she's not a black widow. Right? And the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. You know, the thing is that this woman, this is probably the biggest thing in her life that she wants to hide. All right, this is probably the thing that is the what you call the height of all the chismes in town. Okay, everybody, every woman in that community is probably saying, don't let your husband get too near that lady. If he goes too near the lady, she'll sleep with him. Oh, you know, if you got a boyfriend, you know, you better make sure you watch him carefully. Don't let him go to, I mean, these are things going around in the whole community probably. And, you know, she's, this very issue is the thing that's hurting her. Okay, this is the thing that she wants to hide forever, sweep it under the carpet. Just live as if everything is normal. Okay. What happened to the five husbands, we'll never know. I don't know. Jesus knows, all right? We don't know, okay? But that was the problem. But just, the thing is that although she already agreed, right, Jesus, give me what you have. But Jesus saying is that, you know what? If I give you what I have now, it's not the end of it. Because I have to deal with the very root of your problem. And so he calls out. He says, you know, call your husband here. He's essentially bringing to surface the very truth of her problem. And so if we're going to be set free from something, we need to let the light of God shine on it. And it's one thing we learn from here is that, all right, Jesus knows everything. I mean, sometimes we come here, we worship God, and we're trying to hide something that we're doing. You know, just know that the moment you lift up your hand and worship, God says, ha-ha, I know what you did last night. You know, I know what you did last summer. Okay? So only those who are older laugh at it, okay? Because the young ones doesn't know, what movie is that? You know what? What movie? What? They even had two, right? And they had two of that, you know? I knew what I mean. Anyway, forget it. It's okay. So everybody knows, all right? God knows every one of us, all right? We can't hide. Okay, the thing is that when we come, when we say we want to be set free from something, okay, we tell God a little bit, but we hide some, okay? That's not the way to do it, because he knows it anyway. We might as well come clean to him, okay? When Jesus knows everything, so the only thing for us to do is to surrender. Lord, take everything that I have, everything, you know, nothing to hide. And when God shines his light on those things that we're hiding, it loses power already. When these things was brought up, when she was coming to terms with it, she changed. You find that in the next verses, all right, you find that when Jesus brought this up, what was her first reaction? He says, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where your people ought to worship. All of a sudden, she changed the subject. How many of you do that? Jesus is trying to pin on the problem that she has. We say, hey, by the way, you know what? I actually attend Puchongan. I attend Puchong, you know. But you said that Gateway is better, so no, you know. Right? So she's changed the subject, okay? She wants to hide that thing. She changed the subject. Right? But Jesus said to her, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Essentially, what she's telling her, salvation is coming from him, all right? And the thing is that it's no longer on any mountain that we're going to worship God. Because why? Because God is going to be personal to us. How many know that Jesus is always there with us? Christ in us, hope of glory. Jesus is right here. He doesn't, you know, for lack of a better word, okay, we need a building for a church, okay? But in essence, when people meet, when two or three gathers in his name, he's there with us. That's church already. You know, God is with us personally. And God, so Jesus is saying, you know what? It's no longer any mountain that you see. No, it's no longer a temple or anything of that sort. Because when I go to the cross, when I redeem everything, I'll be with you forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever you go through, I'm there with you. And basically, Jesus is saying that he is with us all the time. All right? It's no longer a physical thing anymore. Right? Try to understand that. That's what he's saying. And so, essentially, you find that the hour has come, okay, so continuing down the same story, but the hour is coming and it's now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So he's already declared himself. So here you are, you find a woman accepting Jesus. All right. And so the thing is that now this is the interesting part. All these things have happened already. And then verse 27, what happens? Just then his disciples come back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. Of course, you know, religiously and culturally, it's just crazy, right? Why is the rabbi talking to a woman? Okay, but no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? You know, they are all just like, oh my goodness, our master, oh my God, we lost all our, you know, whatever that, whatever they thought, whatever credit that they have. They say, my goodness, he's talked to a woman. I don't know what else has happened. All right. And so his disciples are clueless. Sometimes we are clueless as well. We don't know what Jesus is doing, but Jesus is always doing something good, right? So, but this story is not about the disciples, it's about the woman. Okay? So they are clueless, fine. So the woman left the water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of town, and were coming to him. You know what's so interesting? You see the transformation here? When God encountered this woman, when her life transformed, first, she was running away from people. She doesn't want to talk to anybody. She comes to a place where nobody is, and then she'll do her work and she goes. You find that she's so transformed that now she's going to the people. You know, she's no longer saying, you know, I'm the lady with the 5 husbands and 1 man. You know, she was afraid of that. Now she goes in the town, not feeling shameful anymore. You know why? Because Jesus has forgiven her. She's found God in her life. Okay? And the grace of God is there. And she goes there, finding value in herself, talking to people. Come, you know what? I spoke to this guy. He told my whole life. You know? Something different about him. All right? You need to hear. And guess what? These people believe her and say, oh, let's go. You know? From a person that they are despising her, to a person now that they will follow her. Can you imagine that? That's the transformation that Jesus can give in our lives. All right? If you are not a leader, if you're very quiet, Jesus can change you to become, whoa. All right? Come on. All right, good. All right. And so the 3 things that happened here, okay, I didn't put it in a PowerPoint, I should. All right. The 3 things that happened to the woman. 1, she found acceptance. She was accepted by Jesus. You know why? Because despite all the cultural barriers, religious barriers, all right, Jesus went to her. Jesus encountered her. She wasn't the one to do it. It was God who came to her, and she found accepted. So she was accepted. Okay, and then she found love from Jesus. You know, in all that years she was running from people, has anybody asked something from her? All the more you find a guy, a religious guy, a guy whom people are looking up to, comes to a woman who is despised by people and asks her for a drink. Can you see the kind of love that she felt from God himself? You know, this is a God, nobody even wants to talk to me. They all make fun of me. And yet this man is asking something from me. How much love that was that came out of that. And finally she found value from God. You know why? She found value from Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus spent the whole day with her. You know, when somebody spends time with you, you are valuable. If you are not valuable, no one wants to spend time with you. Believe me. We find excuses to get out. You're talking to a guy for 5 minutes. If it is negative energy, I want to get out already. All right? But if someone, despite everything, is going to spend a day with you, listen to you, engaging you, introducing God to you, man, finds you valuable. And God finds us valuable. No matter what, he will give time to us. You know, we sometimes look to men. I want to go and see my coach. I want to see my mentor. I want to see the pastor, the life group leader. Sure, you know, we go to men for that, all right? But sometimes you can get disappointed. But if you come to God, you can be assured you'll never be disappointed. When you come to God, no matter how long it takes, God will spend time with you. All you need to do is just open up your Bible, start reading it, talk to Him. You can spend the whole day engaging God, and He'll deal with your situations. Amen? And that's what it is. So this lady has found her place now. And many Samaritans from that town believe in Him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to Him, they asked Him to stay with them. And He stayed there 2 days. My gosh. And many more believed because of His word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we had heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." You know, sometimes, you know what, worship and prayer night, June 1, we have testimonies here. And God has been really good to us. You know, ever since we started prayer and worship night, we've always had testimonies, people's breakthrough and all that. Okay, when we come, when we hear the testimonies, we are going to be encouraged. Our faith is going to rise up. We're going to believe God even more. Okay. But just as what this Bible says, all right, this verse says, not only will you now, okay, believe because of what you heard, but you're going to encounter God when you come for worship night. And you're going to hear for yourself when you go back, when you start reading your Bible, when you're engaging God, you're going to hear for yourself the voice of God who's going to bless you. And then you're going to believe it because you heard it from Him. You know. And so this is what it is for us. Okay, we are all broken. How many of you are broken? We live in a broken world. We are all broken people. Okay, if you want a perfect church, maybe you can find one down the road. I don't know, but certainly not in this place. Okay, this place, every one of us are broken. Okay, each one of us. There's no perfect person in this place. If you think you are perfect, sorry, you can find another church down the road. Right? Sorry, I'm going to disappoint you. Okay, and this is what it is. Okay, and this is what it is. All right. Our job is to go out and minister to someone. Our job is to share our testimony, what God has done for you. Just like the Samaritan woman. She was totally rejected. And when she shared her testimony, multitudes got saved. Multitudes. We have a broken world out there that needs to hear the love of God. Amen? All right, let's stand. Okay. As we end, Jesus' love and forgiveness transforms lives, all right? His forgiveness will break everything in your life. You're going to be whole again because of that. And as I close with this last verse, okay? I close with this last verse. Jesus said to them, "Okay, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." You know, this is a time when the disciples all come back, okay? They came back with all the food and then they see this woman talking to you, and they didn't know what to do. Oh, gosh, you know. So they had all this food. And Jesus says, you know, forget about the food. You know, I've had my fill ready, all right? Because my food is to do the will of God. You know, some of you have never sat down and shared the love of God to someone. It doesn't even have to be the gospel itself. Just share to someone what God has done for you in your life. You know how satisfying that is? You just feel so fulfilled and satisfied, let me tell you. I just want to encourage you. Okay, it's better than supper, okay? Better than supper, okay? You share the word to someone and someone feels fulfilled and changed and transformed, gives his life to Jesus. Boy, I tell you, you feel so fulfilled. You feel so, so amazing. Okay? And so as we're close tonight, I just want to give you an opportunity, all right? You've heard this word. Okay, I always give you the opportunity to meet Christ. Okay, you've heard this word tonight. You've heard this message. Okay, God wants to break every religious, every cultural barrier that is before you. And like I said, you know what? I was the eldest and the only son. And I had religious responsibilities. I had to choose between Jesus or to continue with the ancestral worship, please my father, please all his brothers and his family, or or I would believe in God, Jesus himself. And I chose Jesus. And let me encourage you that 7 years down the road, my dad and my mom, they gave their life to Jesus too. Right? Because if we have the courage in the presence of God to obey him, to break that cultural and religious barrier that's before us, we break that and receive Jesus in your heart today. Receive him as your Lord and Savior, which is truth. And you see that many others will be saved. You see that your household will be saved. And that's what you really want, is that every each one of your loved ones come to know the truth of Christ. Yeah? Amen? And so, with all eyes closed and your heads bowed, if you are here tonight, you've never given your life to Jesus. You've heard this. You heard this message and you said, you know what? Tonight, I'm just going to do that. Now, I'm going to obey God. Just as Jesus broke through all the religious barriers to come to us, tonight you want to step out of your religious comfort, step out of your own cultural and traditional comforts, and you say, Lord, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. If that's you tonight, I want you to lift up your hands up high. That's you tonight. God is just waiting right now. That's you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to pray for some of you. You know what? Rejection is a bad thing. You know, rejection can multiply into so many things. Depression, shame, guilt, all sorts of stuff. All right? And it's just brokenness. I mean, not may not even be rejection, but you've come here tonight and you hear this message and you relate with this Samaritan woman. You relate with her. You know how it feels. You know what? I want to encourage you even right now, okay, to encounter God. I want, if that's you, if you have an issue that you want God to deliver you from, I want you to lift up your hands right now. Situation that you cannot control. Situation that you're struggling with. And it is, Lord, I want to deal with it tonight. I want to come before you. That's you. Just lift up your hands real up high. We'll pray together. Right. Thank you, Lord. See all those hands, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for tonight, Lord. We want to thank you indeed that your word is alive and it will not return void to you, O God. And so, Lord, even as we speak this word tonight, Lord, we know that your love is coming upon every each one, O God, today. That your love and your forgiveness will transform us, O God. That you will cause a release, Lord. A release right now of those people who raise their hands. And even for us, oh God, if not, Lord, deal with the situations that are deep down in our hearts, oh God. Things that we cannot deal with, but Lord, you can deal with, oh God. And so, Lord, we just pray even right now that you will transform lives, oh God. You will release the hurt, release the pain, reverse the shame, or cause things to be whole again in their lives, Lord. Lord, we surrender all this to you tonight. In Jesus' name, oh God. Amen. Let's worship him before we leave.